The NFL draft is this week, and NFL teams that need a quarterback are tempted to have to get one, to force taking one, sometimes earlier than they should. What about in our own lives? How often are we tempted to get impatient and force something and try to make something happen? Let's unpack it. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined today by guest co-host Nate Sally. He's awesome. You love him. He's been on the show many times over the years, and excited to have him a part of today's episode as we unpack the NFL draft. We'll talk quarterbacks. Nate's a defensive guy, but we'll talk quarterbacks today. But he played for the Panthers, and I'll do more of a bio here in a moment. But we're talking about this concept of forcing it. How sometimes in life we force things, or we try to force things. A lot of times we try to, and then we actually can't force things. Certain things you just can't force. But we're going to talk about that in kind of the lens of the NFL draft, and specifically the Denver Broncos, who made some interesting comments about this topic. But appreciate everybody listening today or watching a lot of different platforms. And so we always appreciate when you comment, like, share, rate, review. Just take a moment to do that today. We appreciate that. So thank you. Be sure to check out our website, unpackingit.com. I've got something very exciting to share today. So we've written many devotionals over the years here at Unpacking It, and I am excited to share that we now have a 30-day sports devotional book that has been published, and it comes out actually next week. So we're fired up about that. I just got the copies in the mail a few days ago, and man, we're fired up. So encourage you to check it out. Go to thesportsdevotional.com, thesportsdevotional.com, 30 days of encouragement for following Jesus. So the team here at Unpacking It put that together. We teamed up with a publisher in Texas, and next week is the official launch. But happy to have a copy here in the studio today to share with you as our loyal podcast listeners and viewers. So there you go. All right. I also want to thank our sponsor of today's episode, High Country Caregivers. And we had an awesome time with Coach Jerry Moore last week. He came on the podcast to talk about this great event coming up. It's the third annual Coaches Invitational hosted by Coach Jerry Moore. It's taking place at the Elk River Golf Course just outside of Boone, North Carolina. And so it's taking place May 19th and 20th. They've got a four-person scramble tournament. They've got an awesome dinner, a bunch of celebrities, former players, coaches, current coaches, in college football and beyond, will be a part of this great event. I'm going to be there, excited to participate as well. And so encourage you to check out the details. The link is in the show notes. And so be sure to check that out. High Country Caregivers is a standalone not-for-profit organization dedicated to relatives, respite, and resources for kinship caregivers. So really appreciate their partnership, and glad to share about this cool event coming up May 19th and 20th. All right. It's time to say good morning to Nate Sally, the Audible coach. He spent 4 years with the Carolina Panthers, won a BCS national championship while at Ohio State. He was drafted in the fourth round of the 2006 NFL draft by the Carolina Panthers. He is now an executive life coach, a pro athlete transition coach, an inspirational speaker, a chaplain, a workshop facilitator. He's busy, but he's made time for today's Unpacking It podcast. Nate, great to see you. Great to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to see you as well, Bryce, and great to be a part of this Unpacking It family and to see you all again. Excited to be here.
Absolutely, man. We always appreciate it and love having you involved with all the different things we have going on. And so today, we're a few days away from the NFL draft. And so as you think back to 2006, when you were drafted, what were the days like leading up to the draft?
It was crazy, man, because you worked so hard your whole life. Since I was 7, 8 years old, I played tackle ball and had this dream of making it to the NFL. And then to kind of know that it's right there, you know, that everything you work for is kind of right at your fingertips. It was very nerve-wracking, but very exciting. Couldn't sleep well at night, just kind of fired up and excited to find out, hey, which of these 32 teams will I end up landing on? What city will I be going to? Where will I be kind of laying some roots down? Couldn't be happier that I landed in a place like Charlotte, North Carolina. Never would have imagined that I'd be here as long as we've been here, even after playing ball. been a great journey. And that was a very, very exciting time in life. You just see everything, all the hard work kind of pay off. It was a great moment. So excited for, a lot of these guys that are getting prepared for their big moment right now as they prepare for it on Thursday to get drafted. So it's an exciting time.
Absolutely. And then the fun thing now, we get a few days of it, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun time. We sort of get our minds back on the NFL. I know I've been watching March Madness and got the NBA playoffs going on, but now the NFL draft kind of kickstarts. All right, I got to start thinking fantasy football. I got to start thinking, all right, how are the Panthers going to do this year? And so it's a fun week for sure. And really the focus, you know, of course, in the build up to the draft is always about the quarterbacks. We know how valuable quarterbacks are in the NFL. We know that when teams need a quarterback, they either go to free agency, but most likely they go to the draft. And so, we think about the teams that are most likely to draft a quarterback. You got the Bears, the Commanders, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Raiders, the Patriots. These teams are desperate for a quarterback. And then, of course, the quarterbacks that are getting the most attention, you got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy. And so, I guess, first off, which of these kind of key quarterbacks or main quarterbacks everybody's talking about jumps out the most to you?
For me, it's Jaden Daniels. I just think about the program that he was at, LSU, and the pressure that's on him to win week in and week out, the type of competition he was playing against every week, and just how he showed up. For me, I'm big on, like, you know, looking at a few key things, like how guys show up in big games, but also, how much of a winner are they, right? How much have they won? I want to bring a winner into my program, my organization. Someone that's won at every level, someone that's been extremely competitive at every level, someone that in the biggest moments, they've shown up in the biggest ways. And you consistently see that with Jaden Daniels. And he has that, but he also has like an amazing skill set that translates very well into today's NFL game. So for me, I know a lot of people are fired up about Caleb, but I think this past season kind of maybe dropped Caleb down a notch on my list. You know, I know people fall in love and think, you know, the next Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff. But for me, Jaden has been kind of consistent, a steady guy. You know what you're going to get from him when he's every week, week in and week out. And at the end of the day, he's a winner. And in the biggest moments, you see him have, you know, big plays. And for me, I don't fall in love with, this person can do this or do that, or they ran a certain 40, or they threw a great ball in their pro day. Like, that's great and all, but the film doesn't lie. And I think that the thing that translates most is if a guy has been a winner in college, if you want a winner in the NFL, why would you bring somebody that maybe hasn't won as much in college or hasn't shown up in the biggest moments just because they have a beautiful arm or great talent? So I think people fall in love with that too much. And they make it rocket science, like, you know. So I look at a guy like Jaden Daniels, and I think that he's a guy that's gonna, you know, that can help someone, that can be that missing piece that a team needs right now to kind of turn things around.
Man, no, I don't disagree. I think that's a great take, and I'm hesitant, like many are, about Caleb Williams. I mean, to go number one, and then there's just a lot of questions in Chicago and not necessarily the stability. I'm not sure that that's going to be a home run situation. And even if Caleb Williams does end up being good, I think it'll take a little bit more time. Yeah. There may be a new coaching staff. And so, you know, like we saw last year, your boy from Ohio State, CJ Stroud, he came in day one and made an impact. And I'm not sure that Caleb Williams is going to do that in Chicago.
Yeah, and then with CJ, is like, I wasn't, not that I was biased, but I'm like, he, and I hadn't seen enough of Bryce to say yay or nay. But
Bryce Young, be very specific.
Bryce Young, Bryce Young, not you, but Bryce Young. Yeah. But for me, I watched obviously every Ohio State game, and I've seen this guy, how he shows up in the toughest moments, but also when they're ahead and doing great and dominating a team. He's the same guy. And for me, CJ was a no-brainer, and not saying hindsight 2020. Like I said that last year, I'm like, I don't know a lot about Bryce, but I'm like, from what I've seen from CJ and what I want as the guy that's leading my team, he's a no-brainer, right? So I don't know. I think I see some of that with Jaden Daniels as well, just from a mindset standpoint and how they show up, how they respond to tough situations. That stuff goes a long way for me. That goes farther than, you know, how far somebody can throw a ball and all that stuff. And how, you know, so that's a non-negotiable for me when I'm looking at that. Yeah.
It's always that it factor that it's hard to quantify, but mm-hmm. as GMs and scouts, they've got to identify it and coaches as well. And so, with Drake May, he's someone that I actually saw in person. Mm-hmm. I went to the App State UNC game. It was an unbelievable game, but UNC came back, won that game, and he was great. And I think he's got all the talent to be able to be really successful.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure that he's got that it factor.
Yeah.
I don't know. And part of it, maybe I'm a Duke fan, but I think I like Drake May. I think he's really good. It'll be interesting the fit for him, kind of what franchise he ends up with.
Yeah.
If he's able to get to that next, I'm not sure he's a superstar quarterback. I think he can be very solid. I'm just not sure he's got that it factor. So
yeah. I'm with you on that. You know, for me, with him, it's like what I said earlier. Like, he would probably be last on my list out of those five or six guys that you mentioned because he just hasn't won. You know what I mean? He hasn't transcended and taken UNC to a different level. And that's why I would put, like, a Michael Penix above him. Like, Michael Penix made Washington relevant again when they haven't been relevant since I was playing Pop Warner. You know what I mean? Like,
long time.
So stuff like that, that goes a long way. I even think about our draft. We had a guy like, you know, like a Jay Cutler who people fell in love with because he has a rocket of an arm and things like that. But I'm like, and no disrespect to Jay, he had a very solid career, but he just never won. He never won in college. And then that translated right into the league. So that goes a long way for me when I think about that. And I forget the name of the other quarterback that just came out of UNC that was taken before.
Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam. Not even Sam Howell, but even back before
Mitch
that,
Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, who was taken before Deshaun Watson. I'm like, how do you make that decision when you have a guy who won a national championship, turned the entire program around, and has all the other skill sets? How do you just fall in love with somebody else above this individual? Like, I just, winning trumps everything for me. So I don't care how beautiful you throw the ball, winning and playing great in big moments. Like, that goes a long way for me, especially if I'm looking at somebody that's going to come in and turn my franchise around. I want to see where they've done that before, just like any other job that you would apply for. You want to see where someone's done the work before. So that plays a major for me.
I'm with you. Absolutely. And so part of this conversation today is, all these different quarterbacks, they've got, strengths and weaknesses. And so all these teams are navigating, okay, how good can they be? But I've noticed over the years, and it seems like it just continues to be the trend, is the pressure that you have to take a quarterback in the first round. That any team that needs a QB, they've got to take them whenever they're up, And so, we'll look at the Denver Broncos, who have the 12th pick. And I have to believe that, they're feeling the pressure that they got to get a quarterback. Now, I know they traded for Zach Wilson yesterday, but still feel the pressure that you need a quarterback.
for sure.
And so, head coach Sean Payton made this comment recently. He said, "You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback, and yet it's got to be the right fit, the right one."
Yeah.
And then general manager George Patton, he gave this perspective: what you don't want to do is force it. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be in this position next year and the years after. You want to get the right player at 12. And so what I've realized is, because they feel this pressure over the years, that quarterbacks get drafted way earlier than they probably should. And then they never live up to the hype. We always consider them busts, But to me, if they would have fallen a little bit later, then you remove some of that. And so what's going to be interesting is what teams trade up to get up to get a pick and how much they give up to go get that, you know, third overall pick or what, or maybe someone even trades with Denver and Denver trades back. We'll see how, if they're able to pull that off, because they actually understand, hey, let's not force it at 12. Let's get Bo Nix a little bit later.
Yeah.
But we've seen this over the years where teams truly force it and they go, wow, we got to get a quarterback. And so, all right, who's the third best quarterback? Well, we'll take him with our third pick. And it's like, wait, is that really a third overall quarterback?
Yeah.
Blake Bortles?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So that's what have you noticed in that regard?
Yeah. At the end of the day, you see that, and it's a copycat league and people feel this pressure. And I don't know why, you know, folks don't realize, like I said, football is not rocket science, right? And fit is everything, right? I think Brock Purdy was a prime example of that, right? If you get into the right situation, get the right guy, right mindset, right? And with some talent, obviously, that can change your whole franchise, right? And that was almost a catastrophic situation for the Niners with the Trey Lance situation where, you know, they fell in love with all the optics as well, right?
And they forced it. They forced a trade.
They even moved down to get, you know, to do that. And it makes no sense, you know, to me. For me, I believe fit is everything. And ultimately, you know, when it comes to fit, it's like, does this person fit our culture? Does this person fit where we're trying to go, the vision that we have for this organization? And if that's not the case, then you shouldn't force it. And I think the same thing goes for us. Obviously, I think we're going to lead into that as well in our lives, is, you know, not allowing things to – Not falling in love with the shiny objects, right? The things that look appealing, and sacrificing our core values and what we really stand for, just to try to make something fit because we feel that pressure from our peers or from the outside. Because hey, if I miss on this pick and this guy turns out to be amazing, like I'll feel like, you know, I'll feel crazy, right? So I think that that we can't allow that pressure to get to us, and that we need to stick to our core values and what we really are trying to accomplish, and make the decision that puts us on the right path that we feel like we should be on.
Absolutely. And so thinking about the Broncos, you know, obviously they need a quarterback, and so they need to draft someone. Do they have to draft someone at 12? Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think you have to do that. You can get some of these guys a little bit later. So that's what's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out for the Broncos. We know Sean Payton's been around a long time, understands the quarterback position, had Drew Brees, all that kind of thing. So that's going to be very, very fun to watch. And who trades up? Do the Vikings trade up? Do the Raiders trade up? And which of these quarterbacks land where? But When we think about the temptation to force it, and you brought it up, in our own lives, we feel this too. Because, you know, think about the different scenarios that we face, you know, in a regular standpoint, the rhythm of life. You know, we sometimes feel like we have to get a new job. Or maybe if we're younger, it's, I have to get a spouse, or I have to get a girlfriend, or I have to... I've got to move and I got to get a new house. And so all of a sudden these things in life, we feel pressure from other people and all that. We end up forcing certain things and we're like, we got to make it happen. We got to make it happen. And so often it's out of impatience. And if we would have just been patient, we could have waited for what was best. What was the right fit? Like we're talking about earlier. The right timing. And so these are the situations where, you know, we rush into something, or we end up just trying to make something happen in our own strength and our limited understanding. And I've even seen this sometimes just with other relationships, whether it's business relationships or just, you know, friendships, where it's like, is there a connection? Are you clicking? And if it's not there, you don't need to force it. If the door is shutting, then we need to take, you know, be aware of it. Okay, that's a sign that maybe this isn't meant to be, and to go a different direction. But too often we're prideful or we're impatient and we're like, man, it's got to happen now. I got to see this happen. And it ends up biting us a little bit. And then, you know, talk about the Broncos saying, all right, now we're back in the same position again. if you just wait, right? You don't force it at the 12th pick. You wait. And so from a spiritual standpoint, as followers of Jesus, we have to allow God to work in situations, to orchestrate details, to prepare us. And then when we sense, and we talked a few weeks ago about discernment, the importance of walking in the Spirit to discern, okay, now this is the door that God is opening up. And so that's the key to this, to be patient in order to experience God's best, God's right fit, God's timing. And so it requires discernment and wisdom and especially, you know, trust. We got to trust them, because too often we try to force things. And all right, God, I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to try to make something happen. And we either get ahead of them, or we try to force things, and ultimately God's plan prevails, but we get all restless and impatient and end up dealing with the consequences of that many times. Nate, how do you relate to this?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think for me, the thing that I've done my best to do that is, I think it's helped me to refrain from forcing it, is really just taking a look at, you know, when I think about a decision, I think about first and foremost, how does it align with what I believe my God-given purpose is on this earth, and which I believe is to inspire transformation in the lives of others. So I'm always looking at that, but also I'm looking at, all right, how will this decision get me closer to God, but also lead others to Christ as well, right? And I feel like if I make a decision with the right heart, and my heart is in that space, even if it's not the best decision at that point in time, if my heart's posture is in that space, God will make it right at some point, right? God will clean it up. And I think He really looks at our heart when we make these decisions. And if our hearts are in that space, I feel like we really can't go wrong in the long run. Now, like you mentioned, a lot of the times it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? And a lot of the times we're not patient enough to wait on the when. And the moments, you know, things get a little shaky or not look ideal, we want to jump ship and do something different, right? And make an adjustment, and we force it. But I think that's the ultimate thing for me is, you know, how will this decision lead me closer to Christ and help me to grow that relationship? But also, how can it lead others to Christ as well is a huge, you know, thing that I look at when I'm making decisions and I feel like making an adjustment or whatever the case may be. I look at, how is that going to help me to grow in my relationship with God? And how is that going to help me to be a better disciple and lead others to Christ as well? When we look Amen. Back at this years from now. Yes,
amen.
Now, right. So yeah, that's a big thing for me that helps me in not forcing it. And I think also, like you mentioned, you know, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Right. So we have to be in God's word. We have to be in constant communication and relationship with Him. And he makes things clear to us. Right. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 23:3. Like, He guides me in paths of righteousness. Right. For His name's sake. Right. He is our God. But we have to truly lean on Him each and every day, not just when there's a major decision to be made, but every day is a relationship, right? And a communication, a connection there that needs to be there that will help us to make the best decision possible, which is the decision that He wants for us. Like I said, if our hearts are right, you know, He can clean all the other stuff up. If our hearts are right and we're really focused on pleasing and glorifying Him with everything that we think, say, and do. So that's kind of what helps me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think the other temptation too is even in looking at this from the NFL standpoint, when teams settle for a quarterback. So you're forcing it, but what you're really doing is settling for something for a player that isn't the best fit. It's not the best guy for that pick. And so for us, is our heart's desire for God's best in our life?
So
are we seeking God's best, or are we settling by forcing it? We're whether it's in you know, relationships or just you know, all the decisions that we make, we're kind of settling. We're forcing something just because we're so impatient. We want something now, and so we take a job that really isn't God's best. And to your point, God can He'll clean it up and He'll teach us something through that. But oftentimes we can avoid certain you know, painful consequences and situations if we were just patient and we trusted Him to truly make something clear, open up the right door for us, and it was His best.
Yeah.
But we get restless. We get, oh, I got to do it. I got to force it. And we settle. So That's the challenge that we face. And so let me share a couple verses here today. So Psalm 37, 3-5 encourages us to trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And so are we delighting in the Lord? Is he our greatest passion? Is our desire for his best, for his will, for his glory? Is that what is motivating us? And so if it is, then we're willing to be patient. We're willing to trust. And so let me also share Micah 7:7. But as for me, I will look expectantly for the Lord, and with confidence in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with confident expectation for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And so we don't have to force it. We can trust, we can be patient, and we can confidently expect God to move in our lives, God to make things clear, God to open up doors, God to close doors and show us, hey, oh, not yet, not yet. I'm preparing you. Wait, trust me. And so these are all opportunities for us to build our faith and show that we do delight in him and that he is our devotion, our greatest desire. We're devoted to him, and he's our greatest desire. So those are some powerful verses there, Nate.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Most definitely. I think at the end of the day, a lot of times we say, you know, God is first, right? But a lot of times our actions don't align with that. A lot of times we get to him when we can, right? So I think like when we really say he's the top priority, but when we live and behave like that, that goes a long way. So I think that aligns with what you just shared as well. And that's a challenge for each and every one of us, you know. We can all do a little bit better in that area of really showing God each and every day that, hey, you are the top priority in my life. And I think that is where our hearts are transformed and we become the version of ourselves that he created us to be, or at least we get closer to that version.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
And he lights our path and shows us what's best. And most so the other flip side to this that I want to talk about is the laziness side, or, you know, it's like, well, I'm not going to force it. So I'm just going to sit back. And sometimes we can become, whether that's spiritually lazy or, you know, just lazy in life. And even using some of these examples of, you know, we feel the pressure. We got to get a new job, or we got to, you know, find a spouse or whatever. Well, there comes a point where it's like, yeah, we got to take some action as we rely on the strength of the Lord, as we trust him and trust him to lead us and guide us. He's asking us to take steps of faith with him. And so we have to be careful of the laziness, or, you know, the whole sitting on your hands type of thing as well. The Denver Broncos, they need to draft a quarterback. So they can't just be lazy, so to speak, or just say, we'll get them next year. No. They're going to have to draft a quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And so, but they don't necessarily have to force it at number 12. There are other options in order to get the best fit for them. And so that's the same for us. It's not about, well, I'll just sit back and, you know, whatever happens. No. We take active steps of faith, but we just don't force it. If the door appears to be closing, we seek the Lord to say, okay, why is this door closing? Is it because God just hasn't opened it yet and we need to wait? Or is he saying, no, this isn't the right door. This isn't what's best for you. I've got another door. Just be patient, because I'm going to open up another door for you. And that's some of the navigation that we have day to day. And again, it goes back to, are we walking with the Lord? Are we close with him? Are we seeking him, spending time with him in fellowship and prayer and reading scripture? So all of that helps us in this, you know, day-to-day decision-making.
Yeah, for sure. It can be a challenging space to be in, not knowing, you know, what's next. But that's where faith comes into play. And I think, you know, even just a quick example for me, even starting this year off, you know, my business, things were slower than usual for this time of year. But it's ironically enough, I told my wife, I said, babe, like, things aren't where they normally are around this time of year, but I'm not really stressing that much about it. Like, I really feel at peace. Like, I don't feel like I need to be trying to do more or whatever. I really believe that God is leaving that space open because he has something that he wants to put there before things start to pick up, and it'll build around it. And literally a couple weeks later, one of my old teammates calls me and says, "Hey, I'm meeting with this company in Charlotte. You still there?" I'm like, "Yeah." He and I were supposed to meet, but we didn't end up meeting. But he ends up meeting with this company, which is Riverstone Logistics, the company where I'm the corporate chaplain now. He meets with them, and he knows me from our playing days and knows what I do now. And after meeting with them, he says, "Nate, I met with this company, man, and I just feel like y'all need to know each other, right?" And fast forward, that's what leads to me having this role that I have now as a corporate chaplain within the organization. And from the moment I sat down and met with them, there are a lot of different things that were happening that I feel like God was pointing and showing me, like, hey, this is what it is. But this is the thing that God was waiting, had me waiting for, had me patiently waiting for, and I wasn't anxious about it at all. But I really trusted, God, you have something that you're waiting to put there, and this is what he put there. And in the moment this landed, other things that I had just been dragging along started landing around it. So I think that's something that's challenging for us to do. And I also had a moment, you know, shortly after this landed, where I felt like, hey, there are things that I've been praying for my whole life. Not even my whole life, but as I've been on this journey, especially with being an entrepreneur and being in this space, that I've been praying for. And I feel like as I was praying for it, I feel like God said, yeah, I've given you everything you need to make it happen. Like, I'm waiting on you. So I think there are moments where, you know, God, when we have that direct relationship and that connection, where, hey, he'll hit us with some, you know, direct feedback, like, hey, man, like, yeah, you're praying for this, and you feel like I'm calling you to do this, but I'm waiting on you. What's up? Let's get it going, right? So I feel like those are two ends of the spectrum, right? On one end, I felt at peace with not having to try too hard or force things. But on the other end, as I prayed, I felt that, you know, that discernment, I felt the Spirit come over me, like, hey, man, like, that sounds good, but I'm waiting on you in this area, right? So I think that all that comes from having a direct, you know, relationship and consistently communicating with God on a daily basis. That's something I strive to do every morning when I wake up. I try my best to communicate with him, read his word, and that just sets the tone for the rest of my day. And as I continue to do that and build that relationship, and I have real conversations with him, you know, around things that I'm working through, challenges that I may be going through, but also the highs and lows, things that are going well also, and things I want to improve in. All that has helped me grow in that relationship. And that comes from, you know, the word of God and also communicating with him and praying to him and building that relationship. So, yeah, things like that happen. So I think a lot of these teams in the draft, I don't know if they need to get in the huddle and to grow in their relationship with God or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, even when it comes to their core values and the things that they stand for and what they're striving to accomplish, they need to make sure that whoever they draft, and I don't care what the position is, the individuals that they draft need to be in alignment with who they feel called to be as an organization. Same way that the decisions we make in our lives need to be in alignment with who we feel called to be as human beings and definitely as followers of Christ. And when we make those decisions, that's what put us on the best path going forward.
Amen. Well said. Yeah. That's so encouraging, and appreciate you sharing all of that. That's tremendous. And like so many of the topics we discuss, it comes down to surrender. Mm-hmm. Are we surrendered to Christ and open hearts, open hands, open minds, and saying, God, what is best? What is the right fit? What is the right timing? So everything we face, every decision we have, are we surrendered to him, or are we trying to take things into our own hands? Because when we do that, then we force things and we try to force things. And so the encouragement for us today is to, you know, seek the Lord and see, okay, what doors is he opening up and leading us toward, and which ones is he closing, and being aware of that. And I was thinking about this, just the image of that today. It's like, I've experienced plenty of times in my life where things were hard and I had to endure and persevere. And it felt like, man, is this door closing, or do I just need to continue to keep going? And that's, again, part of the navigation. But when things seem to, like, this just isn't clicking, like, things are not happening, God's made it clear, hey, don't force this. This isn't the right relationship. This isn't the right job to pursue. The door's closed. Don't force it. And so again, that's part of it that we have to realize and just trust that as we knock, God seek him, knock, God will open up the right doors for us as we trust him and surrender to him. So
yeah.
Any final thoughts? Great conversation,
man. As you shared that, just a quick thing, you know, we serve a God of growth, right? And if we're in alignment with who God is calling us to be, there's always going to be, you know, a challenge or an opportunity for us to step outside of who we are in this moment, right? And an opportunity for us to grow and become a slightly better version of ourselves, right? And that's the God that we serve. He's not going to allow us to remain stagnant. So there are going to be those moments. There are growing pains, right? And we're going to always be growing. So there are going to be challenges and things that we go through. But ultimately, I think that, you know, as we stay in alignment with who he's called us to be, that if we're doing that each and every day, we're going to feel called to not necessarily not be content with who he's called us to be, but we're going to always feel called to become a slightly better version of ourselves, right? To trust in him even more, to have more faith each and every day, because none of us are perfect. None of us have this life figured out. So there's always going to be an opportunity for growth. And as we walk in faith, you know, God's going to call us oftentimes to do some things that don't seem normal, right? That don't seem like what, you know, that are uncomfortable for us, right? And I think that, you know, you being where you are right now, seeing your journey over the past few years, obviously you've seen mine. There've been a lot of uncomfortable situations and things that, man, I never would have imagined that I've been through that. But also when we get on the back end of it, it's like, man, I never could be the person I am today had I not had to go through that also. And I think that that's what this Christian walk and what faith is really all about, is really having faith in the unseen, but really trusting that guidance that we receive from the Holy Spirit each and every day. And hey, even though this may not make sense right now, I just really feel like I'm called to do this right now. And when we take that step and God continues to open doors and make ways, and like you said, close other doors, like he knows exactly what he's doing. So like you said, surrender is huge. And that's a key component, you know, to us on this walk that we're on, because a lot of things that we're going to be called to do and a way that we're called to live is just not normal to what we come up around and what we see each and every day. And the same way that Christ was when he was on this earth, it just is not the norm, right? And I think that the sooner that we can accept that and surrender to that, the better off that we'll be as we continue to walk this walk as believers in Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Tremendous. Man, yeah. Nate, no, I appreciate it. And actually that reminds me, even as I'm promoting this book, we want it to be a resource and a blessing to people. And a year ago, I had lunch with a pastor, and he handed me his book that he had published. And he goes, hey, here's a gift. And I go, oh, where'd you get that published? And he connected me to the publisher. And all of a sudden the doors started opening up, and here we are a little over a year later, and we have a finished book. Now, love the it. Flip side of that is I could have forced it, because I wanted us to have a devotional book. People were asking me, hey, do you have a devotional book? I could have forced it. And there were certain times maybe that I could have tried to do it on my own, or tried to do it in my own strength or whatever. And God just opened up the doors as I just continue to be patient and not force things. And it's amazing then to kind of come to the other side. So anyway, that just reminded me, just as this book sits next to me, and God's faithfulness throughout 10 years of ministry. And when I tried to force things and do things on my own strength, I oftentimes, you know, dealt with the consequences or hit the walls and the doors were closed. And now you would start whining, complaining. And the reminder continues to be surrender, be patient, trust in God's timing, his best at the right time, the right fit. He's got this figured out. He knows what's best for us. And so do we trust him to orchestrate the details and trust in his timing? So that's the encouragement for us today. Appreciate you, Nate. Great insight. Enjoy the draft this weekend. Hopefully our Panthers can snag some good players. And then we'll see about your Ohio State guys, where they end up as well, especially Marvin Harrison. So he's Nate Sally. I'm Bryce Johnson. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected. And through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.